Okay, B'siyata D'Shmaya, this is our first shir on Chinuch HaBanim. And what we're going to try to do today is define what is Chinuch. In our shiurim, in Mirtz Hashem, we will be unlike our shiurim on Shalom Bayis, that we use many different sources. There's one source that really changed the world in Chinuch, and that is Revolbi Sefer Zriya U'Binyan B'Chinuch. And so much of what we're going to say is going to be based on that sefer. As an introduction, Revolbi does not say this. Let's define what the word chinuch is. And maybe in the definition itself, we'll begin to start really understanding what the avod of chinuch is and what is the potential of what we could accomplish in chinuch. And we're actually going to figure out and understand a little bit of the potential of what we could accomplish in chinuch when we also understand our limitations. The definition of chinuch, at first glance, seems to be far into the way in which it's used in the parshios of these weeks. We had in Parshas Tetzave, Chanukas HaMishkan. What exactly is the definition of the word lichanech, the inauguration? Now, I understand when it comes to the Mishkan, we refer to it as Chanukas HaMishkan. But what does it have to do with educating children? So the answer to that question lies in Rashi. Rashi al HaTorah in Parshas Lech Lecha, that the Pasuk says, Vayorek es Chanichav, that when Avram goes to save Lot, so there it says that he went with his Chanichav. Chazal Darshan Ze Eliezer Shechincho L'Mitzvahs. Chanichav means that Avraham was Mechanich Eliezer for Mitzvahs. Rashi says, V'hu Loshon Haskolas Knisas Ha'adam Oikli L'Umnes Shu Osid Lamid Boy. And Rashi makes reference to Chanukas HaMizbech and Chanukas HaBayis. So Rashi says that Eliezer was Mechunach, was educated by Avraham Avinu, because it refers to inaugurating a person, or for that matter, even an inanimate object, into its function in this world. People make a mistake, and we're going to see that Revolbi, in his famous way, broke it down in such a beautiful manner. But people make the mistake that chinuch is, they translate chinuch as educating children. In other words, what we're supposed to do is mold children in a particular manner. If you read Rashi's carefully, Rashi's definition of chinuch is not that way. The definition of chinuch, molding every once in a while, will take place in chinuch, but often chinuch means something else. Chinuch means inaugurating a child in a particular direction. In other words, a parent takes the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them and inaugurates that child in a derech of Torah and mitzvahs. And of course, the Torah uses the term of chinuch hamishkan with kedushas hamishkan. For example, in Parshas Nasai, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph already, Vayhi b'yoyim kalois moishe lahakim es hamishkan, the Pasuk concludes, Vayikadesh oisam. The word lichanech and lichadesh is the same thing. In this usage. And that is that chinuch means to sanctify the child through inaugurating them in the right direction. Now, there are a few reasons why I'm mentioning this as we begin chinuch. We're going to see it through the Ars of Revolbi Zatzal, but I want to share with you a fantastic description of the role of a parent in Jewish education, which was shared by a fantastic psychologist, whose writing is fantastic. Her writing has actually become popular in the secular world as well. I'm reading from a book that was marketed for entirely to a secular audience called Raising Your Children Without Raising Your Voice by Dr. Sarah Chan Radcliffe. From what I understand, she's become more and more popular within the yeshiva world as well. And she seems to be a fantastic Bas Torah. And she writes in her book something that the first time I read it years and years and years ago, way before she wrote for Mishpacha magazine, I was taken aback by my reaction on a truism that she wrote about. And that's on page 5 in the above-mentioned book. And that is her description of what you can and can't do in parenting. And actually, when I'm going to read this, if you begin to feel uncomfortable, well, that I achieved my goal. Secondly, you should know that I also felt uncomfortable. And it made me begin to think about what exactly chinuch is about. Let's start with the part that you won't necessarily feel uncomfortable about. What can you do in parenting? So she has a list. You can treat your children with respect, even when you're stressed. You can react gently and patiently to their mistakes. You can show them affection with your hugs, gifts, care, and loving words. You can attend compassionately to their feelings, giving them emotional support. You can behave consistently and dependably with them. You can teach them certain skills. You can model behaviors. All of those things are things that a parent can do. And if you take a look on page 5 and 6, she goes on and mentions many of them. Interestingly, I'm going to send you back to the old shiurim. She also says you can work on your marriage. Probably one of the most important pieces of being a good parent is actually creating a good marriage around your children. So I always say the first step for chinuch habanim is actually shalom bayis. Okay, but we've done that. We've discussed shalom bayis, and now we're ready, and we're doing well on that, and now we're ready to go on chinuch habanim. If we're not doing so well on that, then go back to the old shiur. Don't listen to shiur number 2 on chinuch habanim. Okay, this is in some ways muvan me'elav. It's understood and known. Dvarim yiduim. And she concludes very nicely in this book that was marketed for secular audiences, you can pray for your children's well-being and success. Here's the uncomfortable part. What you can't do in parenting. You can't ensure that your children will be happy. You can't ensure that your children will be mentally well. You can't ensure that your children will be physically well. You can't ensure that your children will succeed in school. You can't ensure that your children will have a large circle of friends. That you can't ensure that your children will have a desirable career. You can't ensure that your children will get married or stay married. You can't ensure that your children will get along with your siblings. And the list goes on and on. You can't ensure that your children will always be safe. You can't ensure that your children's teachers will be good. You can't ensure that your children will choose a life like yours. You can't save your children from pain. That's uncomfortable. But these are important truisms for us to internalize. We're going to spend a lot of time, b'siyata d'shmaya, talking about what we can do. We spoke about things that we could do to give our children support and love. But at the end of the day, our children aren't something we own, that we make something out of them. We're going to learn later on that Rav Volbi describes very, very powerfully, that a child is a pikadon. A child, Rav Volbi writes, if a person says, he uses a term that we're doing in Yoredeya, Rav Volbi says, if a person says, I have children, my children, Rav Volbi says there's part of it that's no same tam lefgam. There's something here that's a little bit tam pogum. There's something a little bit off in the tam. Why? Because we don't own our children. Our children are a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, not for us to own, but rather our children are a pikadon. They belong there, the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the children of the world are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted us with, to be the shomrim, to be the ones lechanech, lahaschil osam, to bring them in, as Rashi Al HaTorah said, to bring them in to an avoda that's elevated, to a life that's elevated. But we can't guarantee it. What we could do is only do our best to be mechanech, lahaschil osam, And if we do a good job, then the odds are that they're going to be, even if chas v'chalila, there are some of these things that we just read that made us feel very uncomfortable, they'll still thrive and do fantastic things in their lives. But the moment in which we think we own them, that we mold them, that we are in charge of their destiny, is the moment in which we take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture on a theological level. Kotzku Rebbe Zichus LaYogin Elena said, where is God? Wherever you let him in. But so on a most basic level, we take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture, but on a much deeper level, we actually end up hurting our children. And now we get to the last part of the shir. Rav Volbi Sefer Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. Of course, the Yisod, and those are the lines that we're going to read from today, which in the standard edition, this one that I'm using, is on pages in your booklet, Tes, Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Rav Volbi describes the difference between building, Zriya, and Binyan. He starts off B'derech HaAvoida. He points out that the Mesillas Yesharim begins with the letters that begin Yudke Vavke, Yisoid HaShoirish, Yisoid HaChasidus V'Shoirish HaAvoida. Yud He Vav Ke. Says Rav Volbi, it's not a coincidence that in speaking about life, the Ramchal uses two words. A Yisoid, Soid HaChasidus, we're going to focus on the Yisoid, and then the Sharish. What the Yisoid has to do with Chasidus and Sharish Avoid, I leave for a Musar Vad. But the point is that there is Yisoid, which is foundation, which is building, and then there's Sharish, there is planting. Rav Volbi believes that both are extremely important. But parents generally do more building and they don't think enough about planting. Let's explain what building is. Historically, and I have no doubt that Rav Volbi was aware of this, the world of psychology developed with the notion of behaviorism. John Watson, Lahavdil Elf Alfei Avdos, I'm talking about Chochma Bagoyim, to the Machshav of the Torah Kedosha, but Chochma Bagoyim, that in the world of psychology, there was an emphasis of behaviorism, which was then, it goes back to Pavlov's dogs. Watson based himself on Pavlov's dogs. For those who are not familiar, Pavlov showed that you can condition dogs, that if you ring a bell when the dogs are supposed to eat, so then in such a case, and you give them meat, so then eventually when you ring the bell, even if you don't give them meat, the dogs will begin to salivate. In other words, you could teach behaviors, and you can encourage positive behaviors and discourage negative behaviors. And that was one of the first inroads in the world of psychology of understanding how children think and people think. There was an emphasis of this. Skinner advanced this idea. Ultimately, many pointed out that there are many limitations in that in the world of psychology. That's not our asik for today. Our asik for today is the avoida of chinuch HaKadosha itself. And in regards to chinuch, Rav Volbi points out, you could build, and at times you need to build. And that means to encourage behaviors, to build the children, to get them to go to shul, to get them to go to shul, to encourage them to go to shul with positive rewards, discourage them from talking Lashon Hara by giving them even possibly positive reinforcement. We'll discuss in the future negative reinforcement. But at the end of the day, rewarding good behaviors and discouraging, either through positive or negative reinforcement, negative behaviors. However, in its deepest place, the world not only has binyan, but the world has zriya, planting. When a person plants, they actually don't touch the tree. They create an environment around the sapling that's conducive for growth. I always like to think of it in the following way. Mirtz Hashem, the next year we'll discuss this more. Just like a sapling has earth, and there's water, and there's sun, so too in a child's life, The Zriya, which is the most important chinuch, has a sun, has a soil, and it has the water. The water is Taira Kedosha. The sun is the love that the parents give the child. And then there is the soil, which is the environment that the parents create around the child that allows the sun and the water to do the job that it's supposed to do. Too many times, what we focus on is we focus on getting a certain result, and sometimes we encourage it prematurely because we're focusing on the binyan as opposed to the zriya. You know, I believe, and I've seen this over and over and over again, that parents don't teach their children how to daven. You know where children learn how to daven? They learn by simply being surrounded by an environment of tefillah, but not being told to daven. You know, my oldest son, he's allowed me to say this publicly, my oldest son's very different than my youngest son. And my oldest son barely, in America we would call, did his bar mitzvah. And when he was 12 and a half years old, and now Baruch Hashem, he's a big masmid and lamdan in Mir Yeshiva, B'li Ayin Hara. But when he was 12 and a half years old, he couldn't sit in shul for more than 5 and 10 minutes. I came home to my wife and I said, what's going to be by his bar mitzvah? And sure enough, his bar mitzvah was not the... He leaned from Shvi'i, he didn't lean the whole parsha. My youngest son leaned, interestingly, at his older brother's Afruf, this older brother's Afruf. He leaned the whole parsha, and it wasn't a big deal for him. He did beautifully. At the same time, he now is a beautiful Baal Hergish and Baal Avoda, the oldest son. Mir Tzashem, the youngest son, will continue in that direction as well. But as Rav Volbi teaches us, a person at different stages grows according to the kochos that are inside of them. Some children are misugal, are sort of naturally inclined to be able to sit in shul for an extended period of time and daven, and some children less so. For me, it was even harder. My father told me I was one of those kids that was davening in shul at age 3. It came naturally to me. But my son has surpassed me in Avodah by far. And the point is that we need to do our best to surround our children. You know, I don't believe that parents should show the children the place in the Siddur, and certainly not tell their children not to daven, not to talk during davening. Now, I myself, in my shul, as the Rav, so it's my job, my bad job, to stop the davening when people are talking. And Baruch Hashem, all I have to do is stop the davening a couple times, and that's it. And now, Baruch Hashem, people generally don't talk during davening. But for your own children, that's not how it's created. For your own children, if you don't talk during davening, and you go to a shul that's consistent with your values, then Mir Tzashem, your children won't talk during davening. I've heard this from Gedolei Torah, that they've told me themselves, that the reason they don't talk during davening is because that's how they grew up. Their parents didn't talk during davening. So Zriya is not building, not forming, not molding, but it's the haschil ayelet to put the child in the right environment. And in that environment is the environment we're speaking now about the soil. That's the environment where your children, b'siyata d'shmaya, will steig and thrive. In fact, it's not a coincidence. Dr. Radcliffe doesn't use Zriya Ubinyan B'chinuch as a model, but on page 13 in the same book, she writes as follows. Although a parent cannot make a relationship all alone, in other words, a relationship with a child is bidirectional, a parent can do things that typically create the soil in which positive relationships can grow. So what we need to do, and we'll talk in Mir Tzashem about the Torah, the Mayim, we'll talk about the love of the sun. But what we need to do is also create that soil. And one of the most important things in creating that soil is creating an environment that focuses on the positive and not the negative. And Dr. Radcliffe says something that sometimes when a child is acting out might be hard to follow, but it's something that we do need to follow, and that is the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule is that, of course, a parent is supposed to be mechanech a children when they're doing things that are inappropriate, but for every 5 interactions between a parent and child, 4 of them should be positive to every 1 negative. In other words, if you tell your child that they shouldn't be spilling this on the floor when they eat, now that you've said that, try to find 4 positive interactions with them. And if there's another negative thing that requires a call out, hold off. Hold off. And if you must, so now you got to do 8 positive interactions. In order to create an environment where the sun and the water is going to do what it does, the soil needs to be nurtured in a particular way. The soil needs to be nurtured with an environment of positivity. Because ultimately, with negativity, what you could do is build. If you're going to punish the child enough for certain things, they'll stop doing that, but it won't be haschala l'avoda. The moment in which they say Baruch Shepatrani on you, the moment they say Baruch Shepatrani on you, then all those lessons are going to fall away. But when it comes to creating the soil, a soil of positivity, then the Torah and then the love is going to be mashpi on them. Okay, we've run out of time for today, but in Mirtzeh Hashem, we'll pick up next time on these very, very, very powerful Yesodos. All we're doing is Dvarim Pshutim, but as the Mesillas Yesharim, Yesod HaChasidus V'Sherish HaAvoda emphasizes, it's the Dvarim Pshutim that require the most chizuk.